Hey creators, I want to tell you about the sponsor of today's show, and it is Riverside FM. Now, I love using Riverside for the Hey Creator podcast, but we use it at Hey Creator for many other things, including client interviews and community calls at times. It is the best tool that I have found for recording podcast episodes, either by myself, here with Tim, or with our guests. There are several reasons that we chose Riverside to be the tool of choice for the Hey Creator podcast, but let me give you a few of my favorites. The very first one is the ease of use and the quality of the audio. All I have to do is send a link to the guest and they can join. There's no additional software for them to download or anything special for them to do. It is so easy. The other big thing that I love about Riverside is how it records all of the audio and video locally and individually per guest. What that means is if someone drops a connection, it doesn't affect anyone else's feed. It also means that if someone has some background noise going on or something that could affect other people on other recording platforms, Riverside isolates all of those tracks, which makes it really easy to clean up in post-production. Another great feature that Riverside has come out with recently is their AI clip generator. This makes it so much faster and easier to get those short form vertical videos from the best moments of the Hey Creator podcast. I highly recommend using Riverside FM for your podcast. And to get a special rate, all you have to do is go to riverside.fm and use the coupon code HEYCREATOR, that's one word, HEYCREATOR, for 15% off any Riverside plan. Hey creators, Matt here, and I want to be honest with you at the top of this episode. I didn't want to record this. I had a lot going on. I had client work that I needed to do. I had emails that I needed to respond to. I was tired. I just didn't feel like it. And I bet all of you can understand and can empathize with that feeling of being a creator and not feeling like doing the thing that you're supposed to do. So that's something that Tim and I dive into right at the top of this episode, is something that we talk about, the willingness to hit record or to start writing when you don't feel like it is kind of a superpower for creators. And it's something that we're going to dive into in a really meaningful way. But hitting record isn't the only thing that you have to do as a creator. We also talk about how to make the most of the time that you have. So even if you're doing this on the side or you're full time, you still need to make really intentional decisions about how to use your time, how much effort to put into a particular project, a particular piece of content. So those are really big decisions that everyone has to make, like, over and over again. And that's something that we cover in this episode. I'm always thinking about when we talk about our problems on the show, is it too much navel gazing and not applicable to others? Because here we are and we've got a lot of things to do and I don't feel like recording and I don't feel like I'm going to bring my best stuff. But then I look at the schedule for the rest of the week and I'm like, well, I don't know when else I'm going to like feel better about this. Everything else is booked. This is the time. So I don't know what to do.
The idea of wrestling with this is the allotted time I have versus I don't feel like doing this right now.
It's a very common creator like problem. Maybe very common. The most common.
Yeah, I think I'm glad that you hit the record button. The idea of I have this time, I want to do this, I don't feel like doing this, sounds a lot to me like the internal battle that I go through with fitness, working out, going to the gym in my apartment. And you hit the red button. So we start talking for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes on this. I imagine we'll talk for longer than that because we started on it. The willingness to hit the button, though, is takes courage. It's risky. You can hit the red button and not have anything to say. But by talking through this and doing it, and you mentioned, like, is this going to be too much navel gazing? I think if you don't present the answer to your own problem, then it is navel gazing. Because, I mean, what you've shared is something that I feel in other parts of my life and in with this creator stuff. I'm so behind on making my own TikToks. And
yeah, I have a YouTube video that I got to record. I don't know when.
Exactly. So that is ever present. It will always be there. The feeling of, I don't know if I should do this, or I don't know if I feel like doing this, but you know you should, and you know that you want to.
Right.
There's just like a gap right there. And closing that gap only happens when you do what you just did, Matt, and hit the red button, and we start talking to this audience of people that we have.
Yeah, and you also build like your reps through that as well. I mean, I appreciate you saying it, and it is true. I could have just messaged you in Slack and say, don't have it today, too much on my plate. We're a week ahead, and I guess we're burning our content red shirt right now. Or saying like, well, no, we're no longer ahead because I've got other stuff to do. And that is a benefit of being a little ahead, is that if something happens, part of being in this work and doing this stuff long enough is, for me, the ability to recognize between like, is this a real like fire, or is this just a bit of pressure that I'm feeling?
In college, our coach would say, are you injured or are you hurt?
Uh-huh.
There's a difference there.
That's a classic coach line.
Yep. Are you injured or are you hurt? Because if you're hurt, you kind of have to suck it up and finish the practice, finish the game, or for us, finish this recording, right?
Right.
The not wanting to do this or not feeling like you want to do it right now, that's being hurt. Now, if we have a project for a client that's due today,
yeah,
like we're not recording right. this right now.
That's an injury level event. Yeah. It's a good comparison. And I could have texted you and said, hey, don't have it today. I feel really busy. There are a couple other like conversations to have alongside this that I think we need to bring in some other experts and friends of ours to talk about. Is there are two things that come to mind for me. One is having healthy boundaries around work, and not just like the way you think about like, hey, am I overworking at home, or am I spending too much time working? But it's also looking and saying like, hey, what kind of like space do I have to take on extra things? Because one of the things that's stressing me out a little bit right now is we're getting ready for a webinar, and yet a week ago I had enough time to do it, but then I didn't do anything with it last week, and now I feel behind. And so like, should I have taken that thing on? Maybe not, thinking about that in terms of like the container that I have, the capacity, that was the word I was looking for, that I have.
I have a question to ask you about that.
Yeah.
So taking it back to creators for a second, obviously this is our job to do this, right? To be on these meetings, have these conversations, keep the machine going. If this is your other project, say you have a full-time job.
This is your side hustle. Sure.
In a normal white collar, blue collar, whatever job, and your side hustle is to be a creator. I feel like the conversation we're having about, oh, I don't really feel like doing this, is more applicable to that person where you've already worked for 8 hours.
Right.
And now you want to carve out 2 hours on a night, or maybe before you start working, or maybe if you work from home and you have a flexible schedule, like in between your day, and you never really find the time to make those 2 hours or make the X amount of time you need to write a newsletter, make a video, the things any creator will do to get their word out there. How do you think about the discipline to make that time to either write, post, whatever their thing is?
It's a really good question. It's something that almost all of us go through at some point in our creator journey. Like I did this for myself. The discipline of even what we're doing now, even though this is like the job for us, of sitting down and doing the thing when you know that you can protect the time to do it. And obviously, some people have different lives and different responsibilities. The way that I could carve out a couple hours before we had kids, or when we had one kid, was different than when we have three, almost four kids. The mistake that a lot of creators make in this stage, though, and I wish I would have known this better, is still trying to do too many things. We talked about this in some of the, like the creator obstacles a couple episodes ago. But when you're trying to like post on multiple social channels, and you're making like want to do a podcast, and you have a YouTube channel, and like you want to do all these things, you have to get really clear. And this is something else we can talk about. You have to get really clear about the amount of time that you have available and what you can actually do in that block of time. And something that I always advocate for like anyone to do, but especially creators, and especially creators who maybe don't understand how long things are going to take yet. And I'm not even just talking about like, oh, it might take longer than you expect to go from 0 to 1,000 subscribers. That might take longer. Like, I mean, it will probably take longer than you think just to make the video, just to record the podcast, just to write the newsletter. So if you look at it and say like, okay, if I'm disciplined, then I can dedicate 5 hours a week, say an hour a day, or like 2 hours a cup, 2 or 3 days a week. Say I can give 5-ish hours per week to my side hustle. Well, if you think that you're going to post consistently to social media, if you're going to have a podcast and you're going to post videos to YouTube and you're going to write a newsletter, I can tell you that any one of those things to be done well and create momentum, any one of those things is probably going to take 5 hours all by itself. You and I can talk about, and something we're going to talk about, is like the content multiplication system, how you can repurpose effectively. And that's something that I think more creators should be willing to do early on. Not everything you do has to be unique. It should be specific to the platform that you're using, but it doesn't have to be unique ideas, especially when your time is more constrained. There is like a level of discipline to it, but you can be more effective in your discipline decisions when you have a better understanding of the things that you want to do and the amount of time it takes to do those things. What has it been for you? Because I know you do some video work on the side, and that's something that you were doing even before we started working together.
The part that resonated most with everything you just said is the importance of picking the one platform to start. For the longest time for me, that was YouTube. And then it became Twitter when I was trying to become like a big basketball creator. Twitter was my main focus. TikTok for when I wanted to have my own videography, and then straight up video editing business. Found some success there off of, we talked about before, posting 100 videos, but just on TikTok. I was not really focused on YouTube Shorts, Instagram. I had a hard time like remembering to go post my TikTok on Instagram too. And then Twitter, I just wasn't like set up properly to even think about tweeting to get clients or tweeting to build a business. So just focusing on TikTok did wonders for me. TikTok and email were like the two things. You get on my newsletter, you start to like me more, we work together. But it all comes from the TikTok side of it. The brand deals that I've gotten, the clients I've worked with are all butterfly effect of making TikToks. So the one platform, I've had 10 hours a week. I've had 2 hours a week to do the side thing. And because I focused just on TikTok, I was able to build a business that supported me outside of a creator.
The one platform is something like I didn't really start to take off until I really focused on YouTube entirely. And what trips people up, even now, it still trips me up, is thinking like, oh, well, and we talk about this with repurposing and the content multiplication system, is this idea of like, let's say I record a YouTube video or we're doing this podcast, like, okay, if we do this, then I can use parts of that. And we do this for clients. I record a podcast and I can use some of that for short clips. I can use that for longer, like 10-minute YouTube segment videos. I can pull out tweets. I can do LinkedIn. There's so much that I can do with just one podcast recording. And I'm glad you said this, is like, even if I'm using the same exact thing, like I have a TikTok video, I have like a YouTube short. Well, especially if I'm like editing that in something like Premiere or Final Cut, where it doesn't have like the social watermarks on it. Yeah, I can put that into TikTok, and I can put that into Instagram, and I could put that on Twitter, and I could put that on LinkedIn. And yes, there are some like content, there are some like things like Buffer, where you can say like, yeah, this, like just push it out, all those things. But people underestimate how that still does take time. And it takes like extra mental capacity to do those things.
Oh, I'll tell you firsthand. Okay, like, yeah. I can write all day. I can go for as long as I want to write ideas. But that last like 15% of like, hey, put it on Twitter, format a little bit and post it, or put it on LinkedIn, or put it on all these places, that is like a real mental hurdle for me. a lot of the time, because I know that I know what I'm talking about. I can do all these things. I have worked with these people. I have all the expertise, but I know that I have self-sabotaged a little bit just by not doing the last step of like not posting once a day, twice a day. I have the stuff and the knowledge to post five times a day, but until I get over that, that's going to be a battle for me, and I'm sure a battle for our listeners as well.
Yeah, and it's not just looking at it and saying like there's a little bit of self-sabotage going on, but it's also like we talked about that even if you use the same video clip across all of those social channels, there are subtle differences in each platform that like kind of start to trip you up. And so to bring it back to that idea of just one platform, like Justin Welsh, as popular as he's become on several platforms now, he only posted to LinkedIn for well over a year. And if there are two platforms that are more alike in terms of like style, I guess you could say TikTok and Instagram, like in terms of reels, but like what you post to Twitter can be post to LinkedIn, and what you post to LinkedIn can be post to Twitter for the most part. But he still is like very dedicated to that platform. The other reason, especially from a social perspective of just focusing on one, like you probably have different interests and different follows on different platforms. Like LinkedIn for me is pretty much all business. And then there's like Jack Rains, who is like, makes fun of the business posters. But when I go onto Twitter, like there's sports stuff, there's entertainment. And yes, like the main thing that I post on Twitter X is creator content, business content. But I know like when I go on there, I'm going to see something about a football team that I'm following, or right now as we're recording this, we're at the height of NFL free agency. So like I could be like scrolling through and be like, well, I'm going to post this thing or look at my mentions. But also like, is Calvin Ridley going to like sign with the Jaguars? Is he going to go to the Patriots? We're not going to talk about that at all. That's not what this is. But that's the example of like, if I'm posting something on LinkedIn, like I want to stay in tune to that community. If I go over to Twitter, yes, I'm still doing like all the same like business related stuff, but there's this whole other like there's this whole other side of sports news and entertainment that I've built up on Twitter over the years that is going to grab my attention away. When I think about the times in my life when I've felt the most inspired, productive, and motivated, there are all times in my life when I've been around a group of people on the same path as me. These communities gave me the support, encouragement, and motivation that I needed to stay on the path and be accountable for the goals that I set, especially when I hit a rough patch, like if a launch didn't go very well, or if there was a piece of content that I worked really hard on and it just didn't really pan out the way that I wanted it to. This is why we started the Hey Creator Community, a place for you to connect with like-minded creators, follow a proven roadmap for success, and get the support you need to build your creator business. And look, the people are the most important part of any community, but it's more than just the people. It's more than just the connection that you make, even though that is critical. You also get step-by-step training and direction from our team of creative experts. Plans start at just $39 per month with no long-term commitments. Go to heycreator.com/community to learn more and sign up for your first month.
One thing that we're going to work our way up to be able to share with you guys is like our template for our internal content dashboard. And the way to split that up would be social text, which Twitter and LinkedIn mostly. I see a lot of people doing like the handwritten like Instagram posts as well, or just like turning the text of their tweet into like a photo graphic. I think that's like an algorithm thing.
It's really interesting. Because I'm a big handwriting guy, and that's like something that like we're not going to talk about this anymore. But like I've seen that too, and I'm like, like this is like I really should get on this train.
Yeah, I think they look cool, but that's like the extent of what I know and or care about. I'm never going to be the person on this show or outside of it who's like the algorithm is pushing this. You need to be doing this because that's not what we want the show to be.
At all.
We don't want that. But those are cool. So that's part of like social text for me is. Written, handwritten posts, whatever you want to call them. And then obviously the same thing being on Twitter, X, or LinkedIn. The other piece of our thing is social video. So everything that we kind of do is the vertical style. You can do square as well, but Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube Shorts, like the shorter 90 second or less clips, we call those social video. And right now, for the time being, we're comfortable with that being in the same style for each platform. The benefit of changing the video for each platform doesn't outweigh the time that we need to save to just make them once and get our other work done. Now, if we had a full content production team and 10 people working on this stuff, then yeah, maybe we'd go all out. Maybe our YouTube videos would be super flashy, but we care more about the message and just making it once and posting it everywhere for us is more valuable than the bells and whistles.
Yeah. And we're a lean team on this. And I'm glad you point out that it's more important for us to post and move on, like still make it good, post and move on, than it is to like try and hit the algorithm for every single little thing or make it really distinctive for each platform. And that is what you need to think about as the listener. Again, like some of you are listening, you have teams or you have an assistant, you have like maybe agencies like ours that you work with on like some type of content repurposing or production. But it goes back to like how much time do you have available, kind of tracking and monitoring your time for like at least a week or two to better understand, okay, I would like to only work 40 hours, or I would like to only work 30 hours or 20 hours. Okay. Well, how effective can you be in those 20, 30, 40 hours doing X, Y, Z? And when you understand what those things are, and going back even to the side hustle part, like if you have 5 hours, okay, what you want to do in 5 hours, I would say even more emphatically, like just focus on the one platform. Now you'll hear us come back to this over and over again is like, I do feel very strongly about a newsletter in this instance. But if you are say like what I was doing, this is what I was doing on YouTube 5 years ago is I had my weekly video on YouTube and then I had the newsletter later on in the week over the weekend. For me, the starting point of my newsletter was always just going into more detail on the video itself. I like to say now that newsletters are not notifications. Don't use your newsletter to say like, hey, I have a new YouTube video. Don't make it as simplistic as that. YouTube already does that for you. Instead, think of the video that you have, the podcast that you have, as the starting point to expand on it in your newsletter. So you could be like, hey, today, like if we were doing this to get like super meta about it, like I could say in the newsletter that's coming out the week that this podcast does, like, hey, this week, Tim and I talked about the realities of trying to do creative work when you don't feel like it and like balancing a strict schedule. And we talked about it in this way. And the other thing about like doing your newsletter, perhaps like after the main public content comes out, it allows you to like think about what you've said throughout the week. Like even if it's just over a couple of days and then be like, you know, I also thought about this. You could also take the approach of someone made this comment on the video, or I received this email from a listener after the podcast came out, or someone made this comment when I posted about it on X. When you do that, it just gets more people in the conversation. But like I said, you can still have a newsletter that talks about your thing. It doesn't have to be like whatever like the podcast or YouTube video was for that week. But if I don't already have something clearly that I want to talk about, the main channel content that went out is always my starting point. And at the very least, I can just like expand on that or talk about other ways that I was thinking about it over the past few days.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you brought up the newsletter. I think the newsletter in a perfect world for me, unless you are just strictly a writer, and I have another piece on this like coming in a second, but unless you strictly are just a long form writer, I think you should have your main thing in the newsletter, even if you don't start sending right away. Should be your second thing every time. If it's not the first, it should be your second every time.
Every time.
TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, and LinkedIn writing, all of that should funnel to a newsletter. So that's point one. Point two is that first thing, whether it's the newsletter or the videos or whatever, should be the thing that you're most comfortable with to start, your lowest barrier to entry. I would hate to find someone who loves to write but feels like they have to make videos because video is the new thing, or video seems to be being pushed out more by, I'll use air quotes if you're watching on video, the algorithm. You feel like you have to do video. And I hate seeing that when I see creators like, oh, I'm making a big move into video this year. Everyone's doing it. Do you want to do that? Do you feel comfortable doing that? Do you feel investing the time in that is worth it for you? Because to put a whole like circle back on our conversation, if you only have 5 hours, 10 hours to do it, and you love to write newsletters, you love to write, but you feel like you have to do video, you're losing. It's going to show up on your face. Like, I know firsthand, if you don't want to be doing a video right now, everyone will be able to see it and hear it from you. Now, if you're writing, you can get away with playing with words and editing and getting around that. But fake it till you make it doesn't work on camera. So don't do video. And the vice versa is true. Like, if you aren't a good writer, you don't have to write a newsletter. You can write them short, and maybe they can be transcripts of your videos or just a lightly edited version of that. We preach newsletters because we see what it does for your actual creator business. And we should explain that in a certain point as like the real value of a newsletter. That's a big, not necessarily pet peeve, but just like wish I have for creators is like, don't hop on these platforms you don't want to be on. For the longest time, I didn't want to be on TikTok. I was like, I don't want to dance. I don't want to like play around with these like trending sounds. Like, what is that? Until I realized that I could just basically do what we're doing now. Talk to an audience of people who care about videos or newsletters or building their creator business.
I had a coaching call with a member of the Hey Creator community yesterday. His Manuel, shout out to Manuel, the daily yogi. And he's been writing a daily newsletter for almost 2 years now. And he said, I was doing YouTube videos, but I got too burnt out on them because they were taking up a lot of time. And I was like, oh yeah. I mean, if you're trying to do like 2 or 3 videos a week on top of a daily newsletter, and that's not your full-time job, that probably would burn out pretty quick. I'm surprised you made it as far as you did. And even still, like when he thinks about, cause I encouraged him, I was like, you probably need to be on YouTube. You need to do these things. Here's the good news. And I could like just see that he got a little sick. He's not against being on video, but he has in his mind, it's going to take like so much time for me. So this is the other element of like knowing the limitations on time that you have. If you were doing it at this quality before, is it worth it to post and lower the quality in your mind? And I'll come back to that in a second, because I had a very similar experience at the beginning of my YouTube journey. Is looking at it and saying like, okay, I could have this like really great, well-edited video and I could do one a week, and that's going to be tough. Like, that's going to take time. Or, and this is actually where I'm at right now, again, in my YouTube journey, is like, I have like 3 hours a week to work on a YouTube video, if that, like probably more like 2. And so that means for me that I can't worry about editing too much. And I can't even like honestly worry about scripting all that much. And maybe that'll come through in the videos, but it's like, okay, I have my topic. I have a few bullet points. I'm going to talk about this thing for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm going to edit it down to 7 to 10 minutes. And I'm going to like throw on some really basic intro, outro music. I have like a really basic, like I can't worry about thumbnail a lot, because after not posting consistently for 18 months, I realized that that was a missed opportunity where I could have just been doing the type of videos that I'm doing now. And that's what that was the feedback I was giving Manuel, is you could do this highly edited 7-minute video and like crush yourself trying to get it done every week on top of the other things that you already had. Like, he's already committed. He's in to a daily newsletter for multiple months, for nearly 2 years. He can't just really stop doing that. It's the backbone of his business. But I was like, hey, the good news is, and he came up with this on his own. I was like, you have over 200 emails. You have 200, and I think he said he has 250 emails. I was like, literally turn on the camera on your phone, mm-hmm. and film yourself.
Yep.
Literally like just talking about these emails that you already have. So this thing that is like really big in your mind, just like camera on, just like read, I think Hormozy said, like, read the tweets, just read the tweets, man, for your video, like read the emails. And he's already like kind of doing this. So make it like, if you understand the time that you have and there's not really any wiggle room around that, or you're not willing to like kind of change around your deliverables, then how simple can you make it? And I have another thought about this, which is kind of like the next phase, but I want to give you a chance to jump in.
Yeah. One more point on that. I've talked about it before. I have had a short form video editing business, and the way I would pitch these clients that I'd work with is like, hey, you're already doing these videos well because they look native and they're simple, right? You don't want all the bells and whistles. I or an editor will do these videos for you in the same style, right? It would be, and the phrase I wanted to highlight here is diminishing returns. Making the most beautiful short form video is such a waste of time. I personally think so.
This is the hill you're willing to die on, and I appreciate it.
These companies that pop up and can charge $5,000 to $10,000 a month to do these highly animated videos, and this might just be like selfish. I don't really watch those. They don't show up on my feed, even on Twitter.
Animated, like tearaway graphics, like heads bopping around, like
Even on Twitter, where you don't have as much or you have more control over what you see as opposed to like TikTok, I never see those videos. That there's even like there's companies, and all power to them for building these businesses.
Yeah,
clients obviously want to be paying this, but as a consumer, I know that, and this is a bit deep, and I'll take it back here in a second. I know that I want to be watching simple videos that feel native, like a creator made them, not like a company made them. And the same is true for all content. That's a different conversation. To scale it back, it is diminishing returns to make a huge YouTube video or write the fanciest, most formatted newsletter when you could just write your ideas and send them. And it also, to talk about diminishing returns once more, it also brings the audience further away from who you are. These podcasts that we do, if I'm going to break the fourth wall here, are edited. I said that before. I did a little bit of time, probably an hour or two, to like get all the little tiny graphics that come in. This is a video podcast now, so the graphic breaks and the music selection and the ads, like I did that. It took a few hours, but I did that once, and now I just cut these clips up and they come out into this pod you're listening to right now. It'd be diminishing returns to like make these hour-long or 45-minute-long podcasts into full YouTube videos where there's a graphic that pops up every single time we talk about a person or a thing or a tweet. Like, I can do that. And if we had 10 people working on this in an instant turnaround time, we could like make the best version of it. But I would much rather you listen to us and just get it and hear the unfiltered version as opposed to the most polished version. Because I know that if it's me working on it, I want to get the message out. I don't want to make the most beautiful thing.
Yeah. And that was the next thing that I was thinking about with this. Or like if your only job was to edit, like, we know like Tom Frank's editor, Tony, or like Jay Klaus's editor, Connor, like they're awesome dudes. And like, that's their thing. It's like, it is to make the most beautiful version. And like, that's not where we are at right now. It'll be like interesting to see, because this also isn't like a YouTube first show in the same way, but it makes me think about like, and I've been thinking about this a lot more. It got me stuck in YouTube for a number of months, is this question or like this challenge, this obstacle, if you will, of like, once you get to a certain point where you feel like there are expectations on your work from others, or even just like internally, you maybe like want to raise the bar on quality, that takes a lot of effort mentally. Go ahead.
But would you rather have that quality be, hey, this video looks a little bit cooler, or hey, more people are able to understand me because of how I can communicate this? I would much rather be in the second bar of quality, where it's like, hey, more people want to listen to me, as opposed to like, hey, more people think my video looks cool or looks professional.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think I can answer that right now. I also think like there's something to be said about like what is a like just recurring piece of content, like a weekly podcast or a weekly YouTube video, versus what is a feature piece of content. It's kind of like if you want to like really pull it out, big picture, no pun intended, is like, what's the difference between making YouTube videos and making like documentaries? What's the difference between making YouTube videos and making films?
My take would be you either should be at the very like small, like light editing, get your message out, or you should be at the kind of like Dodford style, like you put everything into this movie that it exists as a 12-minute YouTube
another
video.
Another good example we've talked
Being
about.
In the middle is terrible because you're wasting your time for a diminishing return of like, hey, maybe a few more people thought my video was cool. I would much rather spend that time being the best person in the world to talk about creator businesses. And if that comes through in a video or a podcast or a newsletter that's lightly edited, that's much better than coming and like wasting the time, in my opinion, to like make it look and sound the best. Talk about common ways creators overthink. We keep going back to that episode. That would be my thing, is like, unless you're willing to make
it's a very
a movie,
like barbell strategy. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're willing to make a movie, Tim Stoddard talked about this on episode 0, and we've talked about this before. Like Sam Solek does the weightlifting videos that are hardly edited, no care put into the filming or anything like that. And if we want to take this back to newsletters and tweets, like no care put into like the punctuation, the formatting, or the trend where it's like if you're doing a bulleted list, like they have to get longer as you keep going. Like no care into like the aesthetics of being a great tweeter, a great poster, just posting
like
the message.
Email template design itself. Yep. Also, like, oh, I can't launch my email, I can't launch my newsletter yet, my template isn't dialed in.
Yeah, so if you have 5 hours a week or 10 hours a week,
plain text email, baby.
Yeah, that's it. If you let's just be real simple. If you have 10 hours a week, I would spend 7 on making sure your message is proper, as opposed to like the way it's delivered being the most optimized.
Yeah, I like that kind of barbell strategy, like the middle. And I do think like there's a lot that's happening right now on the internet that is kind of aligned, like the middle is not where you want to be. it's tough. Like you either need to be consistent and clear and simple on that, like on that side of like, it's called the Sam Sulek side. Emma Chamberlain was like this for, I haven't watched her videos in a little while either, but she was a lot more like simple day in the life, kind of more traditional vlogger kind of stuff, at which Casey Neistat, for as much as I love him and he's on my Mount Rushmore, kind of ruined that with how like but he is a filmmaker. So like there, you also have to think about like with Casey, same thing with Van, his brother, is like their basic, because they were filmmakers, is like what Casey can do in 5 hours for a video is so far beyond what I can do in 5 hours for a video, and not trying to compare like those things with us together. And I like the Sam Sulek side of I'm going to like record this and I'm going to post it, and it's going to be minimal, because like me getting my message out and connecting is more important than like dialing up the content to until I get to like Dodford level. Hey creator, I have a secret weapon that I want to tell you about, but first I want to tell you how I use it. You know those awesome Hey Creator newsletters that go out once or twice per week that sign off from me, Matt Ragland? Well, I'm not writing those, not directly anyway, because every newsletter is researched, written, edited, and uploaded to ConvertKit by our automatic evergreen team at Hey Creator. And the reason those newsletters sound like they're coming from me is because they're coming directly from the Hey Creator show, along with special presentations that I've made in the community, keynote speeches, or other podcasts that I've been a guest on. Automatic Evergreen lets me send high converting, quality newsletters on time every week with a fraction of the time and attention that I used to give to a newsletter. And this is so valuable because it gives me more time to focus on the podcast and on the community. If you're curious about how Automatic Evergreen can put your newsletter on autopilot and make you money, then click the link in the show notes to book a call.
Last point I'll make on this is that when you do something for long enough, you get better and faster at it. That was my whole thing in the Mount Rushmore episode of like pricing, like charging hourly. You never want to do that for service work. But on your own content, a YouTube video might take you 10 hours at the very start, but you do a few of them, you learn your keyboard shortcuts, or maybe you read a newsletter and you really find you're overthinking your formatting and your topics and everything. A newsletter could take you 2-3 hours at the start. It could take you 15 minutes if you're just on a heater one day with the right idea. Your care, your confidence goes up and your care for perfection goes down as you do it for a long enough time. So if you only have 5 hours, that might be one YouTube video or maybe a few short form videos or maybe one or two newsletters, but that can double in the same amount of time with the work being put in. So the last point is, don't be overwhelmed by how much time you don't have, because just by doing the work, you create the time for yourself to do more of it.
That point about getting better with time, it makes a lot of sense. I think we all understand that the more that we practice something, the better we get at it, and we can either raise the quality of the thing that we can do in the same amount of time. So if you still keep using the same 5 hours on a YouTube video, it will get that much better. Or you can say like that same type of video is only going to take me 3 hours instead of 5 hours, which is kind of where I'm at right now. That also makes me think about one of my favorite creator books. I didn't list it in the top books episode, but it's called How to Take Smart Notes. Now, it was written for an academic crowd, so it's a bit of a dry read, but it's become a little bit of a cult classic even in the creator community. Tiago Forte and Nat Eliason told me about it, but he talks about the value of experience and how the more experience that you build, the more confidence that you develop in that thing. You know, he uses the example of riding a bicycle, and you know, Steve Jobs used a lot of bicycle analogies when he was talking about Apple products. But it's such a, like, when you start doing it, it feels like very disjointed and weird, but then shortly you're going faster and faster than you could ever imagine. So like that experience breeding the confidence that you need to like make quicker decisions. And you talk about the overthinking, it's not just that you are more confident, but like something that you used to overthink or worry about for a little while, you just know like, oh, that doesn't matter, or I know what to do now. And so like there are parts of that, which the more that you do this, and the last like comparison or note that I'll make is about Ira Glass talks about this when he describes the gap. And the reason that we get into creative work is because we see someone like Dodford or Casey Neistat or Chris Doe doing the thing that we aspire to do and doing it really well. And because we have good taste, that's why there's a dissonance. That's why there's a frustration. We're like, well, this thing that I do, not only is it taking way longer than I thought, but it's also not any good. So I'm not going to, like, there's a frustration that sets in. But to your point, the more that you do it, the closer that gap gets. And the more that you even develop your own taste and style, to where like now people are like, oh, I would like to do this the way that Tim does it, the way that Matt does it.
Yeah, if I can break the fourth wall one last time, like this podcast, I feel is the closest that I have been personally and professionally to like the work that I want to be doing. You mentioned Chris Owen there. I don't know if my face lit up, it should have, because like watching him, I feel as close as I ever have been to when I was watching his videos in college, like figuring all this stuff out. And one last time, Matt, we're at 45 minutes and something on the recording of a piece that you weren't really sure you wanted to start, to put all this back. Like, you have a meeting in 9 minutes. The
emails that I have to write are still not written. There is that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, true. The last point is, do the work. If you have it on your schedule, if you have the 5 hours,
show up and
take them and actually do them. Because we just recorded for however many minutes, and this wasn't planned, this wasn't written, this wasn't scripted. And I think like this has been our strongest piece yet. I'm already breaking the fourth wall one last time. There's not that many edits to go in and do for this show. Like this has been an excellent time.
Yeah. And the thing that, like, to go back to the experiencing breeding confidence and more understanding of the process, is one of the reasons that I was willing to show up and hit record and just get started is because I've done this long enough now to understand, it's like, okay, if we just get started and we just start talking about a couple little things, it's going to build and something good is going to come out of this if we just start. So that's all you got to do. Thank you for listening to the Hey Creator podcast. This show was produced by Tim Forkin and would not be possible without the support of our incredible team at Hey Creator and the Hey Creator community. Make sure you connect with us on all of the socials at Hey Creator Hey. And for more information on our company, go to heycreator.com and also sign up for the newsletter while you're there. See you next time.